Welcome to the Daily Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University. Today, BJU President Steve Pettit continues a 10-part series entitled Live Worthy of the Gospel from the Book of Philippians.
Would you please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Book of Philippians, chapter 2 this morning. This morning, we are going to look at our last passage of Scripture as we've been working through since January, the theme of living worthy of the gospel. Next week will be our final message, and that will be sort of a wrap-up of the things that we've learned over the course of the semester. And today we're looking at verses 17 and 18, two very short verses, but I believe very instructive to sort of come to a climactic conclusion of what Paul commanded us to do back in verse 27 of chapter 1 when he told us to live worthy of the gospel. And Paul writes these words, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." I think one of the most memorable events of Paul's ministry in the city of Philippi was the way that he and Silas responded to their arrest and imprisonment. I think many of you know the story well. They were ministering the gospel in the city of Philippi where they were arrested. And what happened to them? Well, the scripture says that they were beaten with rods, and then they were thrown into the local jail. And what followed is what people remember the most, because in Acts 16 and verse 25, it says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." You could say it this way: they had a prison praise service that nobody ever forgot, because it was a few moments later that there was a great earthquake, the doors of the prison flung open, the prisoners left, and of course the Philippian jailer, knowing that if the prisoners escaped, he would be put to death, he came and fell at the knees of the Paul and Silas and said, "What must I do to be saved?" This example of Paul and Silas was one that they never forgot. And this is also, I believe, how Paul wants to conclude the study that we've been working on all semester, because we began by speaking about living worthy of the gospel. And living worthy of the gospel includes a life of joyful sacrifice. It reflects the attitude of someone who is a spiritually mature believer. That is, they are willing to sacrifice and they are willing to do it joyfully. So let us look this morning at these two verses, and we're going to look at them inductively. That means we're going to sort of break them apart and then put them back together. We have two basic simple points. Number one, first of all, what is the interpretation of these verses? What do these words mean? And then secondly, what is this passage of Scripture saying to us practically today? So let's begin, first of all, with what does it mean? And when we look at these verses, I think, first of all, we have to recognize that Paul is testifying through the language of sacrifice. Look at verse 17. He says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith." This phrase here brings us into the confines of the Old Testament temple. We've entered into the temple courtyard. We can see priests walking around in their priestly garment. We can hear musicians in the temple singing and playing their instruments. We hear the sounds of a variety of animals, like the bleating of sheep and the cooing of the doves and the lowing of cattle. There is the smell of blood as animals are being sacrificed. There's also the smell of animal meat as it's being roasted. This is the language of sacrifice. So what does Paul mean when he says, yea, and if I be offered? The word offered means to be poured out as a libation or a drink offering. For example, the New American Standard reads, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering. This refers to the drink offerings that were a part of both the Greek and the Jewish sacrificial rituals. The idea is that wine is poured out on the ground as an offering to the gods. So in Greek festivities, wine was poured out as a libation to Zeus. And in the Jewish ceremonies, the drink offering was poured out along with the burnt offering that was being sacrificed to God. So we read in Numbers 28:7, in the holy place shalt thou cause the strong wine to be poured out unto the Lord for a drink offering. So the question is, what does Paul mean? What is the image of this drink offering? What is it referring to? And Paul is obviously speaking about his own life. He says, yea, if I be offered, if I be poured out. Well, what kind of offering is Paul making? And listen to what Paul writes a few years later in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered. Literally, I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I believe the word pouring out or offering is in reference to Paul's death. And in 2 Timothy, Paul is speaking of the certainty of his death. And I think in Philippians, he's speaking of the possibility of his death. Paul recognized that at any moment, his life could potentially be sacrificed. However, it's not just a sacrifice he makes at the end of his life, but I think Paul is speaking about the whole of his life because the word poured out is in the present tense. It's a statement of fact. It is the way that he lives. Paul is always investing his life by pouring out his life. Perhaps you have heard of the missionary Nate Saint. He was the missionary pilot who flew Jim Elliot and three others on a mission trip to a remote tribe of natives in the country of Ecuador. During this trip, all five missionaries ended up being killed by the tribe after they landed. Nate Saint is not as well known as Jim Elliot, but he had a great heart for the Lord and for his work. And before he died, he wrote these words in his journal. People who do not know the Lord ask why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries. They forget that they too are expending their lives. And when the bubble has burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years that they have wasted. We invest our lives by pouring out our lives. I've never watched the soap opera Days of Our Lives. Have you ever heard of it? It's the longest standing soap opera that has run continuously since 1965. Its famous opening sequence is actually very proverbial because it starts this way. Like sands from the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. I think the picture is right on target. 1 hour, 1 day. All of our days, all of our hours are being expended one after the other, after the other. And in a sense, everybody is pouring out your life. Some people pour out their life on their job. Some people pour out their life on their sports. Some people pour out their life for money. Most people pour out their lives for the pursuit of happiness, whatever that involves. And the truth is, pouring out our life on ourselves is truly a wasted life. Paul saw his life as an investment. The sacrifice that he was making was not a waste. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We all have one life, is that not true? For most of you, you're hoping that the greater part of your life is in front of you, not behind you. And right now, you're making decisions. I remember at my 25th anniversary for my college graduation, walking around with many of my classmates. I was 47 years old at the time. And I remember as I walked around the decisions that I'd made in my college years about dedicating my life to the Lord, and looking back over 25 years that had so quickly passed by, and actually rejoicing and thanking God for the privilege of investing your life sacrificially in the Lord's work. Paul says, "Yea, and if I be offered..." But he's not just speaking about his own sacrifice, but he's speaking about the Philippian sacrifice. For he said, "If I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith." So what does the sacrifice and service of the Philippians' faith actually mean? Well, there's two different ways to interpret this statement. The first way is that the phrase "sacrifice and service of your faith" refers to Paul's own gospel ministry among the Philippians. That is, his preaching the gospel and their being saved. So we read in Romans 15 and verse 16 where Paul says that God gave him the priestly duty to proclaim the gospel so that the Gentiles could be offered up to God as an acceptable sacrifice pleasing unto the Lord. So essentially, the phrase refers to the conversion of the Philippians through Paul's ministry and their being offered to God as a result of this ministry. So it's Paul and his ministry. But then there's a second way to look at it, and that is it refers to the sacrifice and the service of the Philippians' own faith. Specifically, it speaks of the suffering of the Philippians that they were experiencing at the hands of Roman society because of their faith and their commitment and their fellowship in the gospel. In addition, it refers to the sacrificial gift of the Philippians that was sent by the hand of Epaphroditus, who nearly died from sickness in his journey to bring to Paul his gift. So, how do we look at it? Is it focusing on Paul's gospel ministry or on the Philippians' ministry and the sacrifice that they're experiencing? And I believe the best interpretation is the second idea. That is, the sacrifice in service of your faith refers to the Philippians' own sacrifice, the way that they were living. And what do we see here? We see that God calls all of us to sacrifice. Everybody. Everybody lines up. Everybody signs on the dotted line. I am living for His glory, not mine. I am serving Him. A sacrifice to the Lord. So we put it together. We have this Old Testament sacrificial imagery. The drink offering is being poured out in addition to the burnt offering. Paul is saying that he could potentially be poured out in death as a drink offering is poured out on the sacrificial faith of the Philippians, everybody giving of themselves to serve. So, how does Paul then feel about all this? What's at his heart? And what does he say? Go back and look at your text. "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith," he says, "I joy and rejoice with you all. Paul rejoices. What do we learn about spiritually mature Christians? They see sacrifice as a privilege and a place of real joy. Last week in the Collegian, there was on the front page an article about Dr. and Mrs. Guthrie, who are retiring after teaching at Bob Jones University for 50 years. 50 years, that's a long time. I was in the fourth grade when they started teaching here. Dr. Guthrie is a professor of mathematics. Mrs. Guthrie is an instructor of English. Dr. Guthrie made a statement. He said, if there's one word to sum up all of our time at Bob Jones University, he says, it's blessed. I think we all know that our teachers that serve here make sacrifices. It is a sacrifice to work here. It's not that we're trying to make it a sacrifice, it's just the reality. And yet he says, I'm blessed. He goes on and says, teaching has never been work to us. I've never been to work a day in my life. Students are just fun. Now, I question that a little bit. But I think it shows you the heart of really the scores of people that serve here, because we have many, many spiritually mature people that serve here, and what do? They rejoice. This is a blessing for them. Now, Paul's joy is not in the potential experience of being put to death, but it's in his possibility of being like Christ, who was put to death. And being like Christ, who poured himself out when he came to earth to die on the cross. And Paul rejoices in this, his intimate oneness and unity with Christ and with the Philippians in their own sacrifice. And so what does Paul do in verse 18? He gives a very specific command. Notice what it says. It says, for the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Paul says it's a command. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. He's commanding them to live the same way. That sacrifice is embedded in my whole mindset. This is the way that we live. And so that leads me to my second question this morning, and that is, how do we apply this? What are the implications of this? What is Paul saying to us today? And really, two very simple things. Number one, he's saying Christian living is always involving sacrifice. What did Jesus say in Luke 9:23? If any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily. Follow me. What does Paul beg in Romans 12:1? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies to God a living sacrifice. Are you willing to embrace sacrifice in your own personal mindset? Is the idea of sacrifice embedded in your attitude about your life? A number of years ago, it was about this time of the year, we were holding revival meetings up in fact, as I remember exactly where we were in Brookfield, Wisconsin at the Brookside Baptist Church. We had a team that had become very close together because all of them had traveled together for 2 years, and there were six of them, and they were all getting ready to leave except one within about 2 or 3 weeks. So we were really close and we were really tight, but I was really burdened because I was concerned whether or not this particular team, after they traveled with us a couple of years, what are you going to do with your life when you're done? And so I was sort of in one of those moods. I get in a mood like this occasionally. It's like intense. And I remember we were sitting in a back room in the choir room in the back of the church, and we were sitting around a table, and I started pounding the table. And I asked our team, what are you going to do when you finish traveling? And I was hard on them. I said, are you going to go back after you've done your 2 years of tour of duty and then go back and sort of live your own life? Get your nice house, your nice yard, your nice little picket fence, all of your kids, you know, just daily doing your thing, living your life, going to your nice little church, sending your kids to your nice little school, and you just sort of do your own thing because life is about you. Or are you going to make sacrifice as a lifestyle? Because you have sacrificed and you've lived that way for 2 years, but this is not a punch in and punch out. And you know that all six of them today have embraced sacrifice as a lifestyle, and they're living it. They're living it. And now it's some 12, 13, 14 years later with the same commitment, the same level of sacrifice. And you know what you learn about them? They all are joyful people. Christian living involves sacrifice. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Seniors, it's just a few days, just a couple of more classes, only a few more nights living here. So let me get after you. Are you going to walk out of this school having embraced sacrifice as a way to live? Honestly, I feel in some ways that we fail if after 4 years you get a good education, but you don't get it. That Christian living embraces sacrifice. And then secondly and finally, what is this saying to us? That it's through sacrifice that you find real joy. It's never in getting, but it's always in giving. It's always giving of yourself, and then what do you get back? Paul knew where to find his joy. He knew the joy was found in the Lord and in his service to others. Perhaps you've heard the story of the famous missionary C.T. Studd. He grew up in England in the home of a father who was extremely wealthy. He was heir to the fortune. He was also a successful college student and a star cricket player in England. But one day he heard Hudson Taylor, and who was a famous missionary from China, speak. He called for missionaries to come to China, and so C.T. Studd and six others from Cambridge surrendered their lives to be missionaries, and they headed to China. They were dubbed the Cambridge Seven. C.T. went on to China, served there for a number of years, and when his father died, he left to C.T. a large inheritance. But he gave it all away to the China mission and to the other Christian evangelistic causes. He came back to England because of poor health, and there he recuperated and he went back as a missionary to India and Africa. So think of that. He served in China, India, and Africa. And just before his death, he wrote one final letter back home, and he said these words: "As I believe I'm now nearing my departure from this world, I have but a few things to rejoice in, and they are these. Number one, that God called me to China, and I went in spite of utmost opposition from all of my loved ones. Number two, that I joyfully acted as Christ told that rich young man to act. He gave away his fortune to gospel causes. And number three, that I deliberately, at the call of God, gave up my life for this work, for the whole unevangelized world. My only joys, therefore, are that when God has given me a work to do, I have not refused to do it." Paul says, live worthy of the gospel. And how do we do that? Where we make sacrifice a way of life, and in that we find the true joy of the Lord. Mature people live sacrificially and joyfully. Father, thank you for the word that you've given us through Philippians this semester. Oh God, I pray for every senior graduating and every graduate student that they have made up their mind, Lord, that they will make sacrifice who they are embedded in their life, and that they live that out, however, Lord, you lead them. No specific prescription for all of us uniformly, but for each one of us, that willingness to spend and be spent for Christ's sake. Help us, Lord, to live this way. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to The Daily Platform. I'm Steve Pettit, president of Bob Jones University, and I invite you to join us at our beautiful campus in Greenville, South Carolina, to see how you can be prepared academically and spiritually to serve the Lord through one of our more than 100 undergraduate and graduate programs. For more information about Bob Jones University, visit www.bju.edu or call 800-252-6363.